Pastor Owen, it's a great blessing to be here. We've enjoyed our days here, and I know Brother Joe Bryant's having a lot better time than we are, though, but we're thankful that though he's in glory rejoicing, that the church just keeps carrying on, amen. It's always that way. Servants of God only here for a short time, aren't they? And all of us just here for a short time, amen. But the church rolls on, amen. And we're so thankful to have been here these days. And we appreciate you, Pastor Owen, for asking us to come and be a part of this. And I'm so thankful for the great increase in the faith promise for the coming year. And I wish you'd waited until after service in a way, cause it makes it hard to preach. That's okay. We'll work it in. And I'm gonna be carnal for just a moment. And I probably shouldn't. Maybe I better not. Amen. I was thinking about something. I heard this. I wasn't there, but I heard Elizabeth Taylor told her eighth husband or something, "I won't keep you long." Amen. That's what I was thinking this morning. I'm gonna try to be like that. Amen. I won't keep you long. Amen. You knew that, or you heard that before, or something. Maybe she said that. Maybe he heard her say that. I don't know. But anyway, I won't keep you long this morning, amen. And it is a late hour already. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read one verse of scripture and give you three thoughts that are upon our mind here this morning. And I don't think that I even have any subpoints under these three things I'd like to share. So that's a blessing right there, amen. And so praise the Lord for the involvement. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. And I won't have time to go into all the details and explanation if I'm not going to keep you long. I think we're having lunch in the fellowship hall after the service. I believe that's right. And I don't know if I said this before. I probably have said this before here, but one of my dear pastors, I believe it was along the way, or somebody anyway, taught me that there's a lot of hard things in life, amen, and there's a lot of hard things you'll face, a lot of hard things you'll deal with, a lot of hard things you'll put up with. But anyway, it was some Baptist preacher taught me this, or I don't know if he was teaching it to me, but I grasped it and learned from it, but said three of the hardest things in life that you will ever accomplish, if you can accomplish them. And first of all, one of the hardest things in life is to climb a fence that's leaning toward you. Have you ever tried that? It's very difficult, and it's hard to climb a fence leaning toward you. It is hard to kiss your wife if she is pulling away from you. And I'm thankful I've never had to try that. I'm just telling you from somebody else's experience, amen. But it's hard to kiss your wife if she's pulling away from you. But one of the hardest things in all this world any Baptist preacher will ever do is to try to preach when there's food waiting in the fellowship hall, amen. But we will not keep you long, Lord willing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. And I'm going to kind of build on some of the things that we've began this week and kind of summarize it all up in a way. But I know some of you didn't get to be here, but I thought about last night. We felt it was God's will. Everything that we know about God's will to preach what we preached last night. We preached on four cries from hell last night. And I don't have that in front of me, but I think I can remember in hell we find that there's a cry of misery. The cry of misery. And then there's also the cry, and maybe Renee can help me, I don't know, but I can remember the four, just maybe not be able to get them older. There's a cry of misery and there's a cry of memory. In hell, there's the cry of memory in hell, and then there's the cry for something else that begins with the letter M, and I remember the last one for sure, but what was that? There's a cry for mercy. There's a cry of misery, and the cry of memory, and the cry for mercy, and then out of hell we find coming the cry for missions, the cry for missions. And with that in mind, and I know a lot of you didn't get to be here, but that was our thoughts last night. With that in mind, let's read 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, you can look these words up yourself, but I'm going to summarize this for you. What does that mean? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. It means He meant what He said. It means He's not kidding. He's not slack in that area of keeping His He's not slack in keeping His promises. This verse actually is speaking in the singular of one promise, but He's not slack concerning keeping any of His promises, though. But here the writer Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. And so that means He meant what He said. He's not kidding around about it. What's the singular promise He's talking about here? Well, you'll have to read the entire chapter of 2 Peter 3. I don't have time to do that this morning. Maybe we ought to take time, but this particular promise that is mentioned in verse number 9 is mentioned two other times in this chapter. And when you study it, you'll find out He's talking about the promise of His coming again. He's not kidding about the fact that He's coming again. He's not slack concerning His promise. And you say, where do you get that at? In its context. He's dealing with the last days. He's dealing with the coming of the Lord. And the Lord meant what He said. When He said He's going to come back, He meant He's going to come back. Back at the beginning of the chapter, Peter said, there's going to come scoffers in the last days saying, where is the promise of His coming? You heard anybody say that today? I have. I've heard unbelievers say it, but I've heard believers say, where is the promise of His coming? I've wondered it myself. Where is the promise of Your coming? Not that I'm doubting that He's going to come, but I'd kind of like, oh Lord Jesus, how long here we shout that glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, amen. But anyway, the Lord is coming again. If you want to know why don't He keep that promise now, why don't He fulfill that promise, what is He waiting on? If He's going to keep it, and He is, He's not slack concerning His promise. Now, a lot of men are slack in a lot of areas, but the Lord's not slack concerning His promise. He's going to come just like He said He was. But why doesn't He go ahead? The answer's right here in this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Here's why He has not came, but is long-suffering to usward. And then He goes on and expounds on that. He hasn't came because He's so long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me give that to you in plain country language. God does not want sinners to go to hell. I want to go farther now, and you can look at the words in this verse. God does not want any sinner to go to hell. He wants them all to be saved. God does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel said. He has no pleasure in putting people in hell. He's not slack concerning His promise. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at that. He used the word any and all. If God forced His will on this world of ours, every sinner would be saved. He wants them all. He wants them all to come to repentance. He don't want any sinner to go to hell. From your house, my house, the schoolhouse, the prison house, the White House, God does not want sinners to go to hell. Amen. I hope you're doing your part to reach this community. I believe you are, and I hope you'll continue to be encouraged and being a missionary here in your community. And I'm thankful for what you have done in the past to reach around the world and reach farther. And I pray that you will do a lot more than you ever have in reaching around the world. God don't want any sinners to perish. Send missionaries to the schools. Send missionaries to the prison. Send missionaries to Washington, D.C. Send missionaries to other states. Send missionaries to other countries. Be like the Lord. He don't want sinners to go to hell. By your offerings and your pledges and your promises, you don't want sinners to go to hell either. Well, I want to encourage you along that line. I want to show you some things about the Lord that I find in His Word. He don't want sinners to go to hell, and He has proved that. Let me show you three ways in which He's proved that. God don't want sinners to go to hell so much that He sent His Son to redeem sinners from their sin. Amen. It's in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When it says, for God so loved the world, that's any sinner, anywhere, even my name goes there, your name goes there. God loved you so much, he didn't want you to go to hell. So he made a way you could be saved. He, Jesus Christ, purchased your redemption. Jesus Christ paid the price to keep you out of hell. In the Word of God, we find in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus tasted death for every man. We find also in the Word of God that John said that he's the propitiation not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Somewhere here I've got a note, if I can find it, 163 verses in this Bible use the word whosoever. God don't want sinners to go to hell, and he don't want sinners to go to hell so much so he bought and paid for the salvation of every sinner. Now they won't all receive it, but it's bought and paid for. Amen. It's bought and paid for. You say, what about so and so? What about this when it done thus and such? Jesus died for every one of them. He tasted death for every man. He don't want sinners to go to hell, so he purchased redemption. He sent his Son to redeem sinners from their sins. Second of all, God don't want sinners to go to hell, so not only did he send his Son to redeem sinners, he also sent his Spirit to reprove the sinners of their sin. And you find that over in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will. Jesus said, I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. And he's called a lot of names, Holy Ghost. Here he's called the Comforter. Here's what he's going to do when I send him back. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, I want to explain to you what I understand that to mean. And if I'm wrong, you get with me after service and give me some enlightenment on it. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. He said, I must go back to the Father. It's expedient. It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary that I go back to the Father. But when I go back to the Father, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is at work today doing exactly what Jesus said he was going to do when he came back. If you look that word up right there, he will reprove the world of sin. If you look that word reprove up, oftentimes when you look a word up, if you go all the way down to the end of the definitions, there'll be synoptic words. Synonyms and antonyms. Synonyms are words that are different words that mean the same thing. Antonyms are words that are opposites. You can learn a lot about a word by its synonyms and its antonyms, by similar words. If you look that word reprove up, did you know that that is another word? There's a synonym of convict. Convict. Amen. You look that word up and reprove and see if that's not what you find out. What is the Holy Spirit doing today? What does that mean? He will reprove them of their sin. He'll show the sinners that they're sinners. He did that in my life. If you're saved, he probably did that in your life. I know he did. The reason I'm saved today, because I found out I was lost and I need to be saved. The Holy Spirit showed me that through the Word of God. He convicted me of my sins. He reproved me of my sins. Not only that, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Not only did he show me that I was a sinner, but he showed me that I couldn't save myself and that I didn't have righteousness in me. He showed me the righteousness of Christ. And you could preach all these and make a series out of it. I know Jesus told the crowd in one place, except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus showed me Isaiah. Let me say this. Isaiah pointed out to the people of God. He said they thought they were righteous. They thought they were holy. They thought they were doing pretty good. But God said through Isaiah, your righteousness is as filthy rags. I found out that I was a sinner. I found out that what righteousness I thought I had is as filthy rags. It's not righteousness at all. But I thank God that I found out through the book of Romans and other places that I could have the imputed, imparted righteousness of Christ put into my account. And I could be made right in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." I stand in God's sight right now this morning, clean, pure, white, holy, and righteous, not because of me, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was made sin for me. I like the way the songwriter put it. When He sees me, what does God see when He sees you? The songwriter said, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. For He views me in garments as white as the snow. The Lamb of God is worthy, for He washed me. This I know. I probably got the wrong words, but I hope I got the thought across. I've been made right in the sight of God this morning. You know what I am in the Lord Jesus Christ? Just like Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. I've been made a Son of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been put on an equal plane with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 says, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Amen. I'm glad God didn't want sinners to go to hell. And I'm glad He sent His Son to redeem sinners from their sin. And I'm glad that He sent His Spirit to show sinners that they were sinners, to reprove sinners of their sin. And He said of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He showed me I was a sinner. He showed me I didn't have the righteousness I needed. He showed me if I did not get the righteousness of Christ, I was going to face the judgment of God in all its severity. Amen. He reproved me of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so God don't want sinners to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He sent His Son to reprove sinners. He sent His Son to redeem sinners from their sin. He sent His Spirit to reprove sinners of their sin. And then He sends His servants to reach the sinners. He sends His servants to reach the sinners. And this is where we all come in. And this is where World Missions comes in. And it begins just like it did in Acts 1:8. It begins right here. And then it spreads out and it goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you're a child of God, this is talking about you this morning. In John 20:21, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." As you continue to read through your New Testament, you come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and you find this in verse 18 and 19. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." Wow, I spent all that time and energy trying to tell you the very same thing the book of Corinthians said, didn't I? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has given to us, His children, the ministry of reconciliation and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You say, what does that mean? How about verse 20 explain that to you? "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." We've got the message that this world needs. We've got the message that'll keep them from going to hell. We've got the message that'll make us be God's children, that'll make us be like God, that'll make us Christ-like. He don't want sinners to go to hell, and we ought not to want sinners to go to hell. And you ain't right with God if you told anybody, good, bad, enemy, friend, don't you ever, as one of God's children, tell anybody to go to that place. You ought not to do that. If you ever done that, you ought to go ask them to forgive you, and you ought to repent and get right with God. And it won't do you no good to try to repent and get right with God unless you go talk to that person first. And if that's not possible, then you'll have to deal with God. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I know some bad people. I know some bad people. I ain't even going to talk in a mixed crowd today. Some of the people that I know and some of the things that I know that they've done. Many of them's locked up in prison for the rest of their life, and they will not get out because of the things that they have done. But you know what? God wants somebody to go to them very same people. God wants them to tell them that He has bought and paid for their salvation, and if they'll trust Him and turn to Him in repentance and faith, that they may not ever get out of prison here, but they can be set free on the inside and they can still have a life worth living. You say, you don't believe that, do you? I do. I know it to be true. I know some Christians in prison, amen. I know some Christians that aren't in prison because they hadn't been caught up with or they didn't get caught up with, amen. That's right. That's right. But I'm telling you, my friend, I know some men and women that have been saved while in prison. I've come to this conclusion. A lot of people think you're wasting your time going to jails and prisons and reaching out. No, because they are a whosoever. They are a soul for whom Christ died. They are a soul for whom God does not want them to perish, but to come to repentance. I'm excited about tomorrow. Why? Get to go to prison. Amen. Get to go. I'm going to prison tomorrow. Amen. I hope they let me out. If they don't, hallelujah. We'll just do like Paul. He spent most of his time in prison and jail. He just worked from inside there. He won the jailer in one case to the Lord. Amen. And the whole jailer's household got saved on that occasion. Amen. Yeah, where are you going to prison at? Corinth, Mississippi. I forgot the name of it. I think it's Alcorn County Correctional System, going on the prisoner side, Lord willing, with Pastor Donald Scully from the Grace Bible Baptist Church in Corinth, Mississippi. What are you doing that for? Well, he was out of town last week and asked me if I could fill in for him at his prison. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, since you can do that, why don't you just come stay at the church and fill in for me at the church while I'm gone too? And so he got back into town and told me, he called me I think Wednesday morning. He said, well, the church has voted me out and voted you in, so you're their new pastor. Is that why you're going over there? No, no, no. That's what he told. I said, hold on, Brother Scully. Wait just a minute. That's exactly what I didn't want to happen. And he laughed. He laughed about it. That's what he told me. He said, hello, this is Pastor Scully. You're the new pastor. They voted me out and voted you in. And I said, now, I tried everything in my power to keep something like that from happening, and I won't accept. Amen. You're the pastor over there, not me. And so, but anyway, they were out of town for him and his wife celebrated their 40th anniversary, and they were actually in church, I think, in Arizona somewhere, so I can't remember for sure, but anyway, they was in church somewhere. But I had such a good time filling in for him at his prison, and I knew we'd be here today, and I know Corinth's only an hour and a half up the road, so when he called me, matter of fact, I told a man from his church that went with me last Monday, I said, you know, I'll still be around next Monday. I said, you think Pastor Scully would let me come over here again? He said, well, yeah. And so I thank the man. I'm excited about it. Why? Because there might be somebody that's on their way to hell today that I can point to the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe after tomorrow they won't be on the way to hell. Amen. Everybody's got to go to their place. Every missionary's got to try to reach the people group that God has sent them to. And one of these days, maybe, God will let me make a trip out of this country to some other place. But for the time being, it is in my heart to try to reach as many students, military personnel, and inmates as I can. You say, does your wife get involved in that? She does. And matter of fact, I'm under a burden. There was a lady approached us last Sunday morning and said, I understand that you are a missionary of the Rock of Ages Ministry. I said, yes, that's right. And she said, do they ever have anybody that tries to reach the women? I said, sure they do. I said, we have a lot of missionary widows whose husbands used to be a missionary with our ministry. They've gone on to glory, but now the wives have a ministry going into women's facilities and women's sides of the prison. Do they preach? Well, I don't know. I hadn't been in the services with them. Amen. I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know what they do in there. I know for a fact, one dear lady, she's never been married, and she's been a missionary with our ministry, and she carries a guitar in one hand and a Bible in the other hand, and she's a black lady. She probably does preach to them in there, amen, but she don't profess to be a preacher. But you don't have to be a preacher to preach, do you? Amen. In a sense, you don't. It was a woman that first delivered the message of the resurrecting Christ to the disciples under the Lord's instruction. I don't think she was called to preach. I think she was just excited, and he knew she was excited, and he wanted it done anyway. And so he said, go tell my disciples what you've seen. Tell them I'm alive. Well, where is the clock? I was just going to be a few minutes, amen. Clock's broke, amen. I think a lot of clocks are broke after last night. I'm so confused about things, but it always happens. But we are ambassadors for Christ. We are His representatives. We are an ambassador is someone from another country that goes to a different country from their original country. And that's what we are. We're citizens of another place. We're citizens of another country. We're citizens from another world. And here we are, given the chance to reach out and try to bring sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, don't argue with me. You say, I can't talk to sinners. I don't know what to say. Do you got two working hands? I don't have one with me, I don't think, because I loaded them all up this morning. I probably got one right there on the pew. Can you hold it? Give me anything down there, Miss Renee. I'll just use this right here, right quick. I know I probably got one sitting in my Bible. If you got a tract right there by chance, maybe that's all right. We'll pretend this a tract's close enough. It's got the gospel and the word of God on it. You say, I can't talk to sinners. I don't know how to talk to them. I don't know what to say. Can you do this? I saw somebody the other day. I guess if you get caught, you'll thank you very much. I saw somebody the other day. They went to the ATM and got their money out and left that sticking in the slot. That means the next person that comes along is going to have to pull that out of there before they can stick their card in the slot. It also means whoever did that's probably on camera recorded doing that. But so what? What are they going to do? Arrest you? If they do, join us in the prison ministry. Amen. As far as I know, there's not a law against leaving that behind. I know one fella that was so excited when he found out sinners could be saved through gospel tract. He would go to Walmart and all the other grocery stores, and he would put one in every case of beer that they had in there. And I heard about a fella that regularly went to a particular store to buy his beer every weekend, and he went in there and bought his case of beer and came out, and that guy had been putting them tracks in there. And I can't remember all the details of it, but somebody tried to offer him a track when he came out of that store. He said, that's all right. I got one already. Budweiser puts one in every case of beer they put on the shelves. Amen. 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 That guy thought that, but thank God somebody had enough God and guts to go and put them in there. Amen, amen, amen. And God don't want sinners to go to hell. What about you? Does it bother you that people are dying without God and going to hell? Does it bother you that there's people in Amory that are going to hell? Does it bother you that there's many in the state of Mississippi that's going to go to hell if someone doesn't reach them with the gospel? Does it bother you that there's people in other states? I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm turned around right now, but whatever this 278 is or that runs right to Walmart's across the road, this church on the, if you get on 278 and start going east, I think it's about 15 minutes to the Alabama line. Well, that's not far away. Well, that would almost be considered local. I'm not sure if there's a Bible-believing church between here and the Alabama line, but I know right after you cross the Alabama line, there's a little community there. Maybe it has a church, maybe it don't. I hadn't paid enough attention to it, but if it don't, what an opportunity. Amen. You could be a foreign missionary trying to reach people in another state. And I didn't mean to say that particularly about Alabama. Amen. I know some folk feel that way, but I didn't mean for it to come out like that. I think I messed that up myself, didn't I? But how about that? Do you care that folk in Mississippi are going to hell? Do you care that folk in other states are going to hell? Did you know if you kept on going down that road and maybe take a course of turns, wouldn't be about 4 hours, you could be into Georgia? You care if folk in Georgia are going to hell? Do you care if folk in the next state over there, I guess, would be Mississippi? I think Louisiana is one of them that you run into. Maybe part of Missouri comes down. Do you care? Is that right? I don't know. No, but do you care about folks going to hell? in other states? Do you care about folk going to hell across the seas in other countries? Do you care about folks having the Word of God and the gospel taken to them? And I know you do. I'm kind of just preaching to the choir here this morning. I like it when somebody tries to stir me up and challenge me and charge me. And after this week and after what I've experienced and what I've heard and what I've seen, and this morning, I'm excited myself. I want to try to go tell some sinner how they don't have to go to hell, but they can go to heaven. I'm glad I can tell them the good news of the gospel, that Christ Jesus died for their sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. God don't want people to go to hell, do you? Thank you, Pastor.